The word today is Bethlehem. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. The carols we sing and stories we tell at Christmas time are often focused on a little town in Israel called Bethlehem. This was a location foretold by the prophets in the Old Testament. Pastor Schrader has been to Bethlehem many times. Here to take us on a personal tour of the birthplace of Christ is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Bethlehem.
I want to wish everyone a very, very blessed Merry Christmas. What a blessed day it is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God's Son, true God, the second person in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father sent His Son Jesus to this earth to take on human nature. We are blessed by the fact that He came to this earth in order to suffer and die in our place. That's the whole point of Christmas, that He came to take our sins upon Himself and pay for them upon the cross of Calvary. And not only did He die in our place, but He rose again. He is the living Lord. He ascended back to His Father's throne in heaven, where He again reigns with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to all eternity. And He will come again someday soon and claim us as His own, as the church, as the children of God, those that have been redeemed by His blood, and spend eternity with Him in heaven. Now, this incarnation of Jesus was brought about by God as He chose a person by the name of Mary in the Holy Land. And He chose way thousands of years, actually, before the creation of the world, and 750 years during the Old Testament prophecy period, God spoke through a prophet by the name of Micah, M-I-C-A-H. And you can look this up in the prophecy of Micah in the 5th chapter, verse 2. Micah 5, verse 2. Micah, in his prophecy, said, Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, that's a fantastic thing, because I want to explain to you why that's so incredible. First of all, there are two towns by the name of Bethlehem in Israel. One is way up north, about 80 miles north of Jerusalem. It's near Nazareth, and that's called Bethlehem. The other is south of Jerusalem, about 6 miles south. It's a tiny little town, and that's called Bethlehem. So when Micah gave his prophecy, do you think God was leaving something to chance and was not being so specific? Oh, no. God doesn't leave things to chance. God made it very clear which Bethlehem it was going to be. And if you know the reading of that prophecy, it says that in that town, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Do you remember that word Ephrathah that's tucked in there? Most people don't even know what Ephrathah means. But Ephrathah is the region just south of Jerusalem. That's why we know it was that Bethlehem that God was referring to through the prophet Micah, the one that was in Ephrathah. And so, all the details, and you can go into specifics, there are 472 prophecies about Jesus Christ, and every single one of them has been fulfilled, except for those that have to do with His coming and His return on Judgment Day, and they will soon be fulfilled also. And when you look at these prophecies, every one of them about His coming, about where He was be laid in a manger, in a feed trough, just think of that, and that the wise men would come, and that the star would be there, all of these prophecies exactly and meticulously fulfilled. You know, there's no possibility of these being coincidences. I want you to understand that that's positively impossible. You would have to be an idiot to believe that Jesus could come and then accidentally fulfill all these prophecies, that you'd have to be a total idiot to believe that. It would be like I'd say to you, today someone's going to come to your door. Okay, what are the odds of that? That's so general, probably a 50-50 chance. If I wanted to make it more difficult, I'd get more particular. I'd say, and it'll be a man. Now it's probably 1 out of 4, let's say. And the more detail you add, the less likely of coincidence. And I would say, and they're wearing a green raincoat. Well, now it's probably 1 in 500. And they'll be carrying an orange lunch pail. Well, now it's probably 1 in 5,000. You go on like this, extrapolating what the odds are, and each time you add a particular, you see the odds are getting higher and higher and higher. Impossible. If I said the first words that person will say is, can you loan me a stick of butter? Well, now you're up into the several millions of the odds of all that happening coincidentally. And the point is, the prophecies about Jesus Christ are not vague, like someone loves you in heaven and they will send you some help. It's not vague. Anyone can make a stupid, vague prophecy like that and come out pretty good. Let me give you one just here off the top of my head. Let's say, if I would say to you, before the end of the year, some very famous sports personality is going to be murdered. Now, I think the odds of that are pretty good. I didn't say what country. I didn't say what part of the world. I didn't say what sport. I didn't say male or female. I didn't say under what conditions. The chances are pretty good for that. Does that make me a prophet? Of course not. It would make me an idiot if I thought I was. You see, the prophets of the Old Testament had to be 100% accurate. Not 96%, not 80%, 100%. Any prophet who was found to be saying something that was not God's will and that God did not follow up and fulfill would immediately be killed and ostracized. There's just no way they could be counted on, because God doesn't lie. And so his prophets don't lie. And when they're speaking for God, they speak the truth. Now, I've had the great privilege of being to Bethlehem, 23 times. It's been delightful to see this beautiful church in this little town. It is so fantastic. I am thrilled to tell you that church has never been destroyed. You know, when the various armies came through the Holy Land and were destroying churches, Hadrian tried, for instance, to obliterate this particular church. Let me get back to him in just a minute, but there were others that had tried to destroy churches. Prior to the erection of the church that is standing there now, prior to that, in the first centuries, there was a destruction of the area where the cave was, where Jesus was born. He was born in a cave. If you know that area, there were mountainous areas around there. There still are many. I guess we'd call them foothills. They're not actually large mountains, but they're very sizable hills. And the place where Jesus was born was revered by the Christians. And so Hadrian tried to obliterate that memory of that cave, and he built a wicked, evil place to stamp out Christianity. But it backfired. You see, the grandpas that were telling their little children where that was, when they got back to Bethlehem finally, all they had to do was say, look for that grove of trees that Hadrian built to the pagan goddess, Adonis was her name, and you will find underneath there is where Jesus was born. You'll find the cave there. And so when they came back, they did. They went down under there, they found the cave, and they found that it had been revered by Christians. Now, is this the exact cave? Who knows? Who cares? Somewhere around there, pretty obviously, it was in this countryside. Now then, from 339, that's when Emperor Constantine, whose mother was Queen Helena in Rome, sent all the money to build the churches. From that time on, this church has never been destroyed. So the church that you see there now was actually built on May the 31st in the year 339 AD, and that was built by Constantine. You can still see that church there. It's positively fantastic. I love to spend time there, especially down in the basement in the cave area. There are so many people that visit there. Sometimes you have to wait, you know, hours to get in the procession to go down there and see this. There's a silver star down there marking the spot, and of course that's ridiculous. You can't mark the exact spot, but it gives you a place to focus, to kneel and pray. And there's a hole about the size of a grapefruit in the middle of that star, purposely left open so that you can reach your hand in and touch the bedrock, the actual floor of the actual cave. You know, I could describe this church to you in such detail and in such beautiful way, but I think my time is running out here. I want to make the point that somewhere around here, right here in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ came, born of the Virgin Mary, became a human being, took on human flesh, the incarnation, and he came for the purpose of suffering and dying in our place. You have to tie Christmas together with Easter, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came to be our Lord and Savior. And this church is a spot to remember all these things and to understand that he came to be our Lord and Savior. On this Christmas, I hope you will praise him as your personal Lord and Savior. Trust in him. He came for the purpose of giving you and me eternal life. Share that good news with everyone. Anyone that just wants to say it's a merry holidays, that's nonsense. It's Christmas. It is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we celebrate his birth because he is the personal Lord and Savior of all mankind. Anyone who turns to him, anyone who comes to him, anyone who confesses their sins to him, anyone who seeks his forgiveness has eternal life. I hope your heart is busting with joy, just as mine was as I have walked those many times out of that cave up into the church proper, just shouting hallelujahs within my heart. It's quiet and you don't want to disturb the peace there, but in your heart, you're just shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is our Savior.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.